welcome to the Better Pairs Podcast. Join Dr. Jason Fujikawa for his insights on theology, philosophy, culture, and the verbal expressions we use to relate meaning and reality to one another. Make no mistake, this is a podcast for nerds, but particular nerds who are searching for old wisdom made ever new. To learn more about the Better Pairs cultural empire, please visit betterpairs.com. Welcome to the Season 2 finale of the Better Pairs Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jason Fujikawa. The Better Pairs Podcast will return with Season 3 in July, while the Confederate Reserve will continue with weekly episodes through the whole summer. This episode is on obedience and its expression in the human experience. The purpose of the episode, like all those of the podcast, is to suggest deeper meanings for the words we employ to express reality each day. Thus, while the positions offered in each episode are in no way definitive, and at times are rather speculative, it is my hope that they function as timeless attempts at expanding your palate for true and accurate verbal expression. If you disagree with a connection made in the episode, please respond in the comments. If you enjoy this production, I also ask that you like the episode, subscribe to the podcast if you have not already, and let us know in the comments. This simple task truly helps us reach a wider audience. To receive the transcript of each episode and be the first to learn of Better Pairs announcements, please sign up to our newsletter at the bottom of the page at betterpairs.com. In addition to the Better Pairs podcast, Better Pairs also presents The Confederal Reserve, our interview series on Rumble and YouTube, which connects old friends over even older classical works that have shaped the life of each episode's guest. They are conversations long overdue and designed to model substantive conversations about the great ideas that you too can have with formerly close friends and family who may have become distant since the last election cycle. Visit our video channels through the links in the description. Finally, the Better Pairs podcast is offered free through the wonder of the internet, but made possible through the continued contributions of our listener audience. This year, we announced our new crowdfunding program, Better Pairs Leaves. The program is simple and, some might say, elegant in design. Contribute $12 or more each month to Better Pairs and receive a thank you gold back in the mail. It is like a Patreon, but with fractional physical gold instead of BTS and blooper reels. If you have been listening to the Better Pairs podcast or the Confederal Reserve for some time and recognize that the ideas shared stand out from the other offerings of the internet, are worthy of sharing, and are worthy of your support, this community-driven contribution program is for you. To learn more, visit betterpairs.com/leaves. Thank you for your continued patronage of attention and Federal Reserve notes, and now, on with the episode. Season 2, Episode 12, Obedience. Obedience bears with it the perils of our human condition. The agency of our free will is persistently limited by the weakness of our bodies and the ignorance of our intellects. To the former, we, in times past, sought remedy through the labor of beasts and our fellow humans, either through compulsion or mutual benefit. At present, we are engaged with the servitude of increasingly complex machines. Still, the ignorance of the human intellect has only been grappled toward perfection directly by a few and indirectly by the masses. That is, only a few intrepid thinkers have sought through discipline and virtuosity to perfect the use of the intellect in the direct acquisition, recollection, and synthesis of knowledge. The recourse of the masses, the grand majority of human beings, seek instead to subcontract their knowing, thinking, and conclusions to others, and ultimately to the great digital catalogs and processors of our era. The long pageant of human history appears thus as a great procession of progress. On the side of labor, the movement from beasts of burden and human slavery to paid labor, steam and electric-powered machinery, followed by autonomous worker drones, seemingly completes for us the Baconian conquest of nature for the relief of man's estate. On the side of the intellect, the movement from cave drawings to movable texts, that is, books, to movable type, digital data, and now queries that return responses gathered from the purported collected wisdom of the ages, available presently in pockets and purses around the world, this movement seems like an accelerating drumbeat of advance against ignorance itself. And yet, have we surpassed the state of affairs in Genesis chapter 2, in which the material needs of life were supplied to our first parents by a garden they did not plant, in which all that was necessary for them to know was revealed to them through their intimacy with God in that very garden. Although transferred to a decreasing number of farmers in the world, do we not still eat by the sweat of our brow as commanded in Genesis 3? More to the point of our topic, obedience, does not our growing dependence on or from computed information leave us in the same position of the woman conversing with the serpent and weighing two counterclaims to her obedience, one revealed and transmitted to us, the other based on radical distrust of authority and thus rooted in purported self-reliance? Obedience is the intersection of agency and passivity. As a word, a verbal construct to convey this reality, it is fascinating. In Greek, the active verb pathro, meaning to convince, persuade, assumes the meaning to obey, yield in its middle and passive form, pathomai. Obedience, so construed, occurs in the context of the persuasive other, which is not surprising as the English obedience features the Latin prefix ob. This prefix and later preposition, ob, bears the spatial meaning toward or against. It is as if the entire force of human frustration from obstacles, obstructions, and obligations is encapsulated in these two round letters. This resistance to our agency signified by ob is what makes the meaning of obedience from ob plus audire all the more puzzling. We understand obstructed sight as either the disabling of the eyes or the obscuring of the line of sight to an object. Hearing, as expressed by audire, can likewise be obstructed through the disabling of the ears, and yet line of sight is not absolutely necessary for hearing. One can hear and provide auditory response to loud neighbors in the apartment above without sight of them. Similarly, an inopportune sneeze from a hunter's blind fails the day's harvest. Furthermore, the openness of hearing, like the openness of the ear, cannot be easily turned off by the brain, as with the eyes and their rapid lids. Accordingly, humans have been known to torture one another with unobstructed, concussive sound, which the victim must endure. But this is not obedience. Obedience is an act of the hearer in response to what has been heard. The act is therefore both passive and active. And yet we rarely refer to obedience as doing things to which the agent is readily disposed. Only the rare Cathar or Albigensian is said to obediently enjoy ice cream or idle through a park on a spring day. Obedience, in common parlance, bears the sense of doing what one does not desire and is not disposed to do for the sake of the command or law given and received, that is, heard. In a licentious and libidinous age, this is not unwise counsel, and yet the other extreme still threatens. The triumph of obedience regardless of truth and goodness, the doing of what is contrary to our desires for the sake of dominating our desires, is a Pyrrhic victory when contrary to right reason and the truth of faith. To grapple with right reason flowing from nature or the truth of faith through revelation is to keep the ob in obedience. Adaptation, adequation, and assimilation occurs in us in conformity to nature and nature's God. This is the active movement of change and conversion. The reverse only appears to occur in instances of grave ignorance, that is, a misunderstanding of nature or faith, in which we still remain passive, that is, obedient, to the Creator and created order. Thus, to thine own self be true, Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 3, line 84, is a pearl of damned nonsense, in that such obedience remains enclosed within the system of self. Self-obedience taken to this extreme avoids the excesses of the libertine, and yet still becomes radically disobedient to the claims of the natural order and God. For this reason, perhaps, Shakespeare places this dictum in the mouth of the conniving fool, Polonius. As it happens now, we live in a time of fools, conniving or otherwise, who have adopted this admonition as sage wisdom, taking solace and sanctimony in the Nietzschean constancy of the will, regardless of ends, good or evil, that is, praiseworthy or blameworthy. Ours is a time of superb disobedience, rightly ascribed by the vitium masquerading as vita, pride. The views expressed by Better Pairs contributors are theirs alone, and do not necessarily reflect the views of Better Pairs, its parent company, or any company or organization affiliated with the contributors. For more information, to support Better Pairs, or to shop for Better Pairs merchandise, please visit betterpairs.com.